From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
Voice listener, here is Newsline. First, the headlines. Indonesia hosts businesses matching in Qatar to open job opportunities. President Jokowi instructs minister to form tourism fund in Indonesia. And now the news in details. The Ministry of Manpower held the Indonesia Business Matching 2023 event in Doha, Qatar on Wednesday to open job opportunities for Indonesian workers. This business matching is a strategic step to encourage Indonesian migrant workers to enter and work in Qatar in accordance with the right departure and placement producers. This was conveyed by Manpower Minister Ida Fauzia in a statement on Wednesday as reported by Antara. There are three sectors that have the highest demand for Indonesian migrant workers: hospitality, health, and oil and gas. Fauzia further said, currently, out of total 2.3 million foreign workers in Qatar, there are only about 21,000 Indonesian workers. President Joko Widodo has instructed relevant ministers to establish a tourism fund to support world-class tourism in Indonesia. This was pointed out by Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, on Wednesday. According to Sandiaga, his side received a direction in a meeting with President Jokowi regarding the tourism fund to support quality and sustainable tourism in Indonesia. He said that several other countries that prioritize the tourism sector, such as Singapore and Saudi Arabia, have also established tourism funds. The tourism fund in Indonesia will be started with good governance and prioritizing sustainable and quality tourism by highlighting domestic cultural excellence. State-owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir has emphasized the government's commitment to eradicating rice hoarding to maintain price stability. He conveyed this while monitoring a food supply and price stabilization market operation for rice at Cipinang Central Rice Market on Wednesday. According to him, the government has a good food task force to carry out law enforcement measures against rice hoarders. The measures are aimed at handling disruptions in the stability of rice supplies and prices. Meanwhile, President Director of the State Logistic Agency, Budi Waseso, said that besides the hoarding of rice, another issue that needs tackling is the counterfeiting of SPHP rice using imported rice. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin on Wednesday inaugurated the Nusantara Food Estates in Talaga Village, Donggala District, Central Sulawesi, to support food security in the new capital city, Nusantara. According to Vice President Ma'ruf, during the inauguration ceremony, the construction of IKN in East Kalimantan is still ongoing. He stated the capital city development is expected to boost the province population, thereby increasing food demand ultimately. On the occasion, the vice president planted a durian. He expressed hope that the 1,124-hectare food estate, built as an integrated area, would support food resilience in the new capital city. Pakistan, home to more than 1.7 million people who have fled violence in neighboring Afghanistan, is launching a mass deportation of illegal immigrants. This was conveyed by authorities of Pakistan on Tuesday, as quoted by CNN.com. In a news conference, caretaker Interior Minister Sarfraz Bukti announced a November 1st deadline for those residing in the country illegally to leave, after which all law enforcement agencies would deport them. Afghanistan, as of the end of 2022, Pakistan hosted more than 1.3 million registered Afghan refugees and 427,000 people in refugee-like situations. Beijing has said that line did not exist when Taiwan raised the alarm last month over a record number of Chinese fighter jets crossing the unofficial border between them. As reported by BBC.com, the 103 fighter jets that China flew near Taiwan, 40 which entered the island's air defense identification zone, were yet another escalation and has in the past year repeatedly rehearsed encircling itself, ruled island with fighter jets and navy ships. The military drills have taken an especially menacing turn in light of China's vows to reunite with Taiwan. And the final news. Vietnam is on the cusp of becoming a major player in the global liquefied natural gas market. Technical analyst James Hirzik wrote on VXEmpire.com, said attributed his argument to Vietnam's recent approved power development plan 8 that sets ambitious targets for bolstering wind and gas energy capacities. The market researcher cites Reuters, saying that the power development plan 8 requires $134.7 billion in funding, with part of it would be sourced from foreign investment, including a $15.5 billion pledge from the group of seven industrialized nations. And that was the news.
Diplomatic Corner, Ambassador of Egypt Lutfi Rauf affirms Indonesia-Egypt relations are getting closer. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Lutfi Rauf stated that the cooperative relations between Indonesia and Egypt in various fields, such as trade, economy, education, and culture, are increasingly closer. He also believes that Indonesia and Egypt can face the current global economic challenges through commitment, determination, and hard work. He conveyed this at a diplomatic reception to commemorate the 78th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia at the Indonesian Embassy Wisma Duta in Cairo on Monday. Ambassador Lutfi Rauf also stated that Indonesia and Egypt have already signed a Memorandum of Understanding on the establishment of a joint trade committee in Cairo. He remarked that the existence of this committee is very important to identify and optimize the potential for economic cooperation that is still untapped by both countries. He added, "The cooperation relationship of Indonesia and Egypt is not a competition, but it's rather a complementary relationship between trading commodities with each other." In the economic and trade fields, cooperation between Indonesia and Egypt has continued to grow over the last 10 years. Both countries succeeded in increasing the value of bilateral trade by 56% during the pandemic. Meanwhile, in the field of education, there are currently 13,000 Indonesian students, the majority of whom study at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt. Ambassador Lutfi Rauf also expressed his gratitude and appreciation to the government and the people of Egypt who welcome and provided opportunities for Indonesian citizens to study and live in Egypt. The diplomatic reception was attended by high-ranking Egyptian officials, diplomats, and defense attaches from foreign countries in Egypt, as well as working partners of the Indonesian embassy in Cairo. In the event, the Indonesian embassy in Cairo presented various types of batik collections originating from various regions in Indonesia, and served typical Indonesian food, such as satay, fried rice, and a number of typical Indonesian snacks. The Indonesian embassy in Cairo also featured performances of regional songs and dances from Indonesia, as well as videos that promote the beauty of nature and development process that are currently being implemented in Indonesia. And that's Diplomatic Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 5th October, Indonesian National Military Anniversary. Indonesian National Military Anniversary is celebrated every October 5th. This day cannot be separated from the history of the formation of the military as the front guard of Indonesian state defense. The Indonesian National Military, or TNI, was born when defending Indonesia's independence from the threat of the Dutch who wanted to colonize again. The founding of the TNI began with the People's Security Agency, or BKR, which was later changed to the People's Security Army, or TKR, on 5 October 1945. To improve its composition in accordance with international military principles, the People's Security Army was changed to the Indonesian Republic Army, or TRI. In the next developments, the government continue to create the army to be more perfect while fighting for national sovereignty and independence. To unite the two armed forces, namely the Indonesian Republic Army as the regular army and the People's War Bodies, then on 3rd June 1947, President Sukarno officiated the Indonesian military. Let's move to another event on 5th October 1965, the burial of the bodies of the heroes of the revolution. On 5th October 1965, the bodies of revolutionary heroes who were the victims of the 30th September Movement or PKI were buried at the Kalibata Heroes Cemetery, Jakarta. The revolutionary hero was a title given to a number of military officers who died in the tragedy on the evening of 30th September 1965 and the early hours of 1st October 1965. Since the enactment of Law No. 20 of 2009, this title has also been recognized as a national hero. We end today in history with the World Teachers' Day. The World Teachers' Day is celebrated every 5th October. This commemoration is a form of appreciation for teachers throughout the world who have provided services in providing useful knowledge to everyone. According to UNESCO, World Teachers' Day represents a display of concern, understanding and appreciation for the vital role of teachers, namely teaching knowledge and building generations. World Teachers' Day is different from National Teachers' Day. World Teachers' Day is celebrated 5th October, whereas in Indonesia, National Teachers' Day is celebrated every 25th November. World Teachers' Day was created by the organization United Nations Education, Science and Culture in 1994. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Dari semua yang menimpa, takkan ku biarkan diriku terus terlena dalam hayalku. Ada saat aku tak berdaya hapuskan semua cerita, ku berharap terlalu banyak sedang dirimu terus berlalu. Hatimu terlalu cepat berubah, sedang diriku terus mengharapkanmu. Mungkinkah terlalu pernah terbayangkan terjadi. Hanya penyesalan di hati, sanjak hanya ungkapan hati. Tak cukup sudah untuk diriku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on leaders of Indonesia and Malaysia parliaments discuss maritime cooperation, Nusantara Capital City, and ASEAN. Indonesian House of Representatives Speaker Puan Maharani met with the Malaysian House of Representatives leader Tan Sri Dato' Johari Abdul in Kuala Lumpur on Monday. The meeting discussed cooperation strengthening from the two nations, one of which is in the maritime sector. Quoting Indonesian House of Representatives website dpr.go.id, Puan Maharani highlighted the importance of cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in the maritime sector mainly because the two neighboring countries are surrounded by sea. The cooperation aims to eradicate illegal fishing as well as maritime and land border delimitation. She supported the finalization effort of the Treaty on Maritime Delimitation in the Sulawesi Sea and Malacca Strait. Puan Maharani ensured that the Indonesian House of Representatives, through its monitoring function, will keep tabbings on progress from the instrument. On the occasion, Puan invited the Malaysian Parliament and Indonesian Parliament to fight for Myanmar crisis resolution in line with the agreed resolution in the 44th ASEAN Interparliamentary Assembly held in Jakarta recently. She also mentioned the role of Indonesia and Malaysia as the founders of ASEAN. Puan affirmed the importance of Indonesia and Malaysia relations as the anchor in creating peace and security stability in the region. Therefore, Puan hoped the two nations could manage various issues through bilateral mechanisms and forums. The meeting between Indonesian and Malaysian parliament leaders also discussed the cooperation in Nusantara capital city development and strengthening the palm oil industry and maritime sector of the two nations. Quoting Bayantara, Puan Maharani explains that the Malaysian House of Representatives leader said, "Malaysia is very interested in participating in renewable energy, hydropower and infrastructure in Nusantara capital city." Puan explained the meeting also discussed the importance of Indonesia and Malaysia strengthening the cooperation in the palm oil industry sector. Therefore, Indonesia and Malaysia can give proper explanation and clear arguments when facing European countries. Meanwhile, Malaysia House of Representatives leader Tan Sri Dato' Johari said Malaysia supported Indonesia's choice in moving the capital city from Jakarta to Kalimantan. According to Tan Sri Dato' Johari, the capital city translocation will strengthen the two nations' relations in trade and other sectors, including tourism, population, and food security. Tan Sri Dato' Johari further explained that the meeting also talked over exchanges of academics, researchers, and think tanks from universities in the two countries. He affirmed that ASEAN nations must be strong in the research sector so it can help solve the current global food security issues. The two parliament leaders also talked about innovation applications. Tan Sri Dato' Johari explained Indonesia and Malaysia share similarities and natures that must be explored with new innovations, including artificial intelligence. He said the ASEAN revival cannot be stopped, so the nations in ASEAN, including Indonesia and Malaysia, must accept the situation and move ahead by preparing the young generation with knowledge and science in accepting the ASEAN revival.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, if you travel to the city of Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, please don't forget to try its various tropical culinary delights. If you like dishes with soap, you should try Sop Mutiara when you go to the city. This savory dish actually comes from China and is served at every big event such as Chinese New Year celebrations, weddings, birthday, and so on. Listener, this typical Banjarmasin dish is named Sop Mutiara, which literally means pearl soap. That is because of processed chicken meat inside, which is grounded and shaped round like meatballs, but in a small size similar to pearls. Their texture is smooth and soft. What is unique and distinctive about this soup is the broth. The broth is not like soups in general. Sop Mutiara uses milk and is seasoned with nutmeg, onion, and garlic, so it tastes very delicious and savory. Its savory taste comes from garlic and milk. Listener, Sop Mutiara is very suitable to eat in the afternoon or on a cold day. The dish is really good to eat while it is still hot with a plate of warm rice. For those of you who are interested in tasting Sop Mutiara, you can come to Banjarmasin. Sop Mutiara in Banjarmasin is sold for 25,000 to 30,000 rupiah, or about 1.6 to 1.9 US dollar per portion, complete with rice.
Voice of Indonesia.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Berbatik Palace. Listeners, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy will hold a batik fashion show in order to promote batik internationally as a national identity. Ajetama Tourism and Creative Economy, main expert of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Niscaya, in a press conference on Monday, explained that on October 2, 2009, batik designed for the first time in the UNESCO courtroom located in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, through the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguard of the Intangible Cultural Heritage Session, batik officially became Indonesia's Intangible Cultural Heritage, or WBTB. Therefore, according to Nia Niscaya, Istana Berbatik or the Berbatik Palace becomes part of celebrating the National Batik Day, which is celebrated every October 2nd. In the meantime, Acting Director of National and International Events of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Ni Komang Ayu Astiti, explains that Istana Berbatik was implemented with the aim of urging various levels of society to love and preserve Indonesian culture, in this case, batik, as the nation's cultural heritage, which has received recognition from UNESCO. This event will be held on October 1, 2023 in Istana Palace, Jakarta, filled with fashion shows, music and dance shows, and batik exhibitions in commemorations of National Batik Day. This event will be attended by the President of the Republic of Indonesia and the First Lady, the Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia and Mrs. Wuri Ma'ruf Amin, and the ranks of ministers and deputy ministers of the Advanced Indonesian Cabinet, ambassadors from friendly countries, the palace family, public figures, and also the community. Listeners, apart from support from various ministries, Indonesian National Police and Indonesian National Armed Forces, Istana Berbatik is also supported by the Jakarta Provincial Government, the Indonesian Batik Foundation, the Indonesian National Commission for UNESCO, Jakarta Fashion Week, MNC Media, and sponsors including BRI, BNI, Pertamina, PLN, Telkom, and Freeport. Host of designers includes Batik Keris, PT Iwan Tirta, Batik Danar Hadi, Oscar Lawalata Culture, Bin House, Onsu Tulola, Rinaldi Yunardi, Era Sukamto, and Manjusa Nusantara. Based on data, the Ministry of Industry, the export value of batik and batik products in 2022 will reach $64.56 million, or an increase of 30.1% compared to the same period last year. This year, the export value is targeted to reach $100 million. One of them is through the Batik Palace activities. That's Miss Seleni.
Bisa meredam segala kerinduan.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
VOI listener, today's music corner presents a song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Gemu Famire. Gemu Famire was composed by Nyong Franco in 2011. This song was originally composed as a welcome song for guests who come to Maumere, East Nusa Tenggara. Besides being a song, Gemu Famire is also known as a dance like Poco Poco dance from North Sulawesi. Nyong Franco incorporates elements of gong to bring out the local wisdom of culture. The lyrics of the song mention Maumere as a city full of songs. The chorus of the song Gemu Famire also invites the listeners to dance and spin around. Well, listener, let's dance with the song Gemu Famire by Nyong Franco. Enjoy!
Roposai.
Thank you.
Indonesia.